This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back, folks. Every Tuesday, we set aside a little time for our NOLA Coalition segment where we highlight difference makers in our community, working hard down in the trenches, trying to have our community be a safe place to live, work, and raise our family. I know it sounds cliche, but it's so true. We're all looking for the same thing. And this has actually been one of my favorite segments that I do during the week because I've learned so much about so many incredible people doing incredible things day in and day out, and we appreciate same. And today's no different. Our guest is Reverend Julius Lee, President, CEO of SMCL Foundation and Associates. He's also President of the Paralyzed Veterans of America Bayou Gulf States Chapter and Southeast Louisiana Veterans Healthcare System. He is a pastor at the Greater New Saint Luke Baptist Church. Excuse me, that's quite a mouthful. Reverend, welcome to the show.
Why, hello. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. If you would, for the benefit of our listening audience, if you would kind of describe your organization, your mission, and the vision of your organization.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, my organization, SMCL Foundation Associate, Inc., is an adaptive and disability sports organization. We promote, provide, develop adaptive sports of all types and all sorts for people with disabilities and folks without disabilities, those who are probably, underprivileged or disadvantaged, or those who just want to be involved in learning how to deal with adaptive sports. And we've been in existence since SMCL Foundation Associates, Inc. We've been in existence since March of 2006. And I've been involved in adaptive sports and stuff for over 22 years, since 2002. But my organization, we started up right after Katrina hit us because we used to have a wheelchair basketball. We used to have an organization called the Rolling Rhinos, which was the Rehab Institute of New Orleans from years ago. So you know, a lot of stuff formed from that institute that was way back from the 1990s, but SMCL has been going on. I established SMCL right after Hurricane Katrina in 2026, in the month of March.
Reverend,
yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. I thought you were finished.
Yeah. All right. Yes. And then we try to reach out to folks, not just in New Orleans. We reach out to folks in the whole region of the metropolitan New Orleans area. So and we have folks doing every kind of sport you can think of, and especially a new one, wheelchair football. And I'm going to stop right there and let the other Newell come back on.
Well, I was just going to say that I was looking at your bio last evening, and you served in the Army National Guard from 1974 to 80, and you entered active military service in the U.S. Air Force from 1980 to 1997. And in that year, I guess it's safe to say it was kind of an altering year for you, right? Suffering a debilitating spinal cord injury. Was that the impetus for you in getting into this field of adaptive sports?
Very much so. I'll tell you a little quick story. You know, I broke my neck, and I used to be a quadriplegic. I'm not a quad anymore. I'm a semi-quad because I got some of my mobility back, but not all. But I'll tell you a little story. I was in a wheelchair, and I was a super athlete while I was on active duty. I played every sport there was, coached every sport there was, as you can think of, in the Air Force. So when I broke my neck, became a quadriplegia for about 6 months in 1997, from January 1997 to June. I was unable to do much. And then in the fall of 1997, I started getting some mobility back. And I wanted to be involved in sports. And I wanted to continue working with individuals, whether they were disabled or not. So I didn't know anything about adaptive sports. So within the fall of 1997, I went to a high school where my daughters were going to high school. This was Alfred Lawless Senior High. And I rode in my wheelchair. I talked to the principal, and I talked to the coach. That coach of girls athletics. I said, look, I used to coach. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, I still want to coach. So they allowed me to work with the head coach of basketball, softball, tennis, volleyball at the school. So, and they gave me that opportunity to coach the kids and girls at the high school. And I was coaching regular high school athletics. I became the assistant head coach. And I did that from 1997, from October of 1997 through the spring of 2002, and I became a certified athletic coach with the Louisiana High School Federation. After that, I was recruited by the Paralyzed Vets of America to come and do and coach and work with paralyzed veterans and athletes. And that summer of 2002, I did that. I got involved with Paralyzed Vets of America. And then I was approached again later that year around September in 2002 to get involved with adaptive sports, to coach wheelchair basketball and some different sports that I never worked at coaching individuals in a wheelchair, though I was in a wheelchair. I was coaching individuals who had no disability. So getting to coach the basketball, I started out coaching the Rolling Rhinos wheelchair basketball teams. And then I was working with the paralyzed veterans and dealing with the National Veteran Wheelchair Games. And from that point on, from 2002 until this day, is what got me working with adaptive sports and individuals in wheelchairs, not in wheelchairs. So, because now it's having it be all-inclusive. So we work with any and everybody in the field of adaptive sports. And that's how I got involved. I was in a chair, and I found myself coaching athletes who had no disability to going over and changing over to the adaptive arena, coaching athletes who had some type of disability, whether they were paralyzed, no legs, or broken hips, or whatever. Or if they were too old, and couldn't move, they're seniors. I started coaching those individuals, and that's what I've been doing in the Adaptive Sports Arena since 2002.
Reverend, first let me thank you for your service to our country. We truly appreciate the sacrifices that you've made. It's got to be incredibly rewarding for you as you move through this process into adaptive sports. I was looking at the list that y'all have of your schedule of events calendar. And folks, I got to tell you, this man doesn't stop. I mean, football, tennis, motocross, wheelchair basketball, Field of Hope with the triple adaptive sports. And I mean, just the list goes on and on. There's something every, looks like, I guess these are weekend days, every weekend or during the week between now, the 2025 schedule, already published through the end of the year. I mean, it's absolutely incredible for both youth, adults, and veterans. I was blown away as I looked at this thing, even air rifle tournaments. I mean, it just, and as I was looking through it, bocce tournament. I mean, y'all left no stone unturned.
That's correct. You know, we learned to let everyone else understand that there is no sport that's under the sun that can be played. You can do it with a disability or not. And we work with individuals who have disabilities and non-disabilities. We work with youth that don't have disabilities. Some adults don't. They might be old because they can't compete in the high-level competition, but they can compete in their seniors and stuff like that. So it's amazing to me. And I get a thrill out of seeing folks enjoy being competitive and enjoy recreating and getting off the couch and into the game, so to say. That's what I enjoy. And I love to see people get involved. And I've been doing this for quite a long time. I'm over 70 years old, and I won't quit.
Reverend, what's the biggest challenge for folks that, you know, are mobility impaired? Obviously, you've gone through the process. Is it just believing in oneself?
That's got a lot to do with it. It's believing that you can do it and wanting to do it, having desire, and being around people who are already doing it. Because when you have an injury or something happened to you, and you can't perform or do the things that you would normally do, you know, you kind of get down. And you don't know what you can do. But until you get that interaction with someone who's been there, done that, and then someone that's still doing that, when you get around those type of individuals, it kind of picks you up a little bit. It kind of gives you that sense of saying, wow, they're doing this. I want to try it. And then when you do try, and when you do get out there, you can't do like the other folks who've been doing it for a while. But when you do just that one little thing, and somebody is there to cheer you on, to let you know that the little that you did is the best thing that you can do for yourself and for others like you that see you making that effort, that's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, it's got to be incredibly rewarding. I mean, and as I said before, there's so many offerings that y'all make, and, you know, wheelchair motocross. I mean, it's almost as if you want to experience it, we're going to figure out a way for you to experience it. You know, whatever dream you had before, you were faced with this physical challenge, we want you to still be able to dream. I mean, it just sounds incredible.
That's it. We call it a shield of dream. You know, we have a shield that portrays different sports and different recreational activities. Says that shield is your shield. your shield of dreams. And with that, you know, we can feel some hope.
So, Reverend, if folks have an interest in participating in the organization, helping out, where would they go for more information?
Okay. Good. They can go to our website, which is smclf.org. And when they go on, they can go and browse through there and click on the different things. And if they want to be involved, and actually if you want to be involved, just click on it. If you want to be a member, if you want to just see how you can just participate or see when the next thing is coming up, you go on there and check it out and scroll through on the website. Again, that's smclf.org. And then they can contact me. They can call me and then some of my other affiliates that works with me and volunteer. And it's all volunteer-based. Everything we do is amazing, the volunteer help that we get year-round. And we've been doing this stuff. We've been fulfilling this schedule that you mentioned for the last several years. We've been having this schedule action-packed. We're going with it.
There's no doubt about that. There's a lot going on, which
yeah.
is I just think it's incredible. You can reach out to Reverend Lee at jleepva@cox.net as well if you want to communicate with him by email. Reverend Julius Lee, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you sharing this story of not only you, but your organization as well, and we wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Lowell, and I'm happy to have been on your show. And how can I make this last point? If anyone
yes,
wants to be involved with us, you know, they can give me a call today because we're having our first activation meeting of all this stuff at 2:30 today at the City of Kenner Recreation Department. And if they want to, they can give me a call. Again, they call me at 504-450-4014 and or email me at jleepva@cox.net. Let me know if they want to be involved. We're preparing for March 27th. That's the day we're going to do our all-inclusive activation adaptive sports events for kids, youth, adults, veterans at the City of Kenner Recreation Center Department since.
Well, best of luck with that. Reach out to Reverend Julius Lee if you'd like to participate. And again, thank you so much for your service and thank you for joining us. Best of luck.
And you're welcome. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back with Jerry Bologna, President and CEO of Jedco. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jerry Bologna, President and CEO of JEDCO, the Jefferson Parish Economic Development Commission. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Great to be with you.
Jerry, you guys started off with a bang. Obviously, I think it was last Tuesday was the celebration or the anniversary of our bicentennial year in Jefferson Parish, and it's been nothing but great news since.
It's been a sprint this week, certainly. Started with the bicentennial, and we've had several announcements throughout the week, and it's just a great time to be in Jefferson.
So let's talk about some of the companies and these most recent announcements, if you will.
Sure. Start last week, the first big one that we celebrated was UBE. This is a Japanese chemical company. That's actually manufacturing one of the ingredients in EV lithium ion batteries to help extend their life. But that's a $500 million investment, all foreign direct investment into Jefferson Parish. That's going to be out at the Cornerstone Energy Park, about 400 construction jobs, 50 to 60 high paying permanent jobs after that. But what's great about that announcement is it just further positions us in alternative energy and emerging energy sectors. Right after the UBE announcement, we moved over to Metairie.
If you don't mind, let's talk about this just a little bit more because there's something I wanted to ask. When we talk about companies like this, right, this also helps our port because we will be importing ingredients or goods that maybe we don't ordinarily see at our port today. Would that be true?
That's correct. You know, one of the reasons that a company like this chooses to be here in Southeast Louisiana is the access to the river, the rail, and the roadways. And so it stands to be told that we would definitely be receiving more cargo through the port and more will be leaving through the port as well. And I think the other thing that needs to be recognized when you talk about the EV battery facility is that these types of manufacturers tend to cluster together. So I think we have an opportunity to potentially attract more development around the EV field.
And what's interesting about this is a ground-up announcement, right? This is something that's going to be built.
this is a ground-up announcement. One of the other reasons they chose that location is they're able to take a byproduct of what is already being produced out there, and through this new manufacturing process, use those byproducts to create new products. So it's a good news story all the way around.
And operations are set to begin in 2027, which is, I guess, a two-year lag, which is
they're gonna start
considering, you know, I'm sure the size of this facility.
The complexity is enormous, but they're going to get started here immediately and hope to commission that in 2027.
Absolutely. All right, let's move to the next one, if you don't mind.
Renegade Construction, RNGD. Many probably know as the former Palmisano Construction. They had multiple facilities around the region, and we celebrated the consolidation of everything, their headquarters moving into Jefferson. That's another $25 million investment. Not only does it retain the 265 jobs they already have, but it's going to lead to the creation of another 130 jobs. This is significant because they're not just doing work here in Jefferson and Southeast Louisiana. They're working in areas in Tennessee and Alabama, and a lot of that work will be done out of this location in terms of fabrication. Another great aspect of that is they also are building the training academy, the Renegade Training Academy, for skills in the construction industry. So it'll further enhance our construction industry here in Louisiana.
Jerry, how much more of this type of arrangement are you seeing where they're doubling down and betting on themselves, they're educating their work, you know, a workforce that they're going to be able to utilize because it's so competitive out there finding folks in the trades. It seems as though a lot of folks are saying, look, I can't wait around. I need people now. I need to train them myself.
We're seeing more and more of this, companies, especially in the skilled trades or in a field where you don't necessarily need a four-year degree, is that companies are not waiting around. They're actually trying to facilitate the creation of their own workforce. And we see this in the construction industry. We're seeing it in manufacturing throughout the parish. And it's one of the things we've been really happy to work with companies on is the establishment of these types of training programs and working to really ensure their own success in the future.
Yeah, especially when you're a multi-state company, right? When you have a workforce that's not only just here in the region, but working in other states as well. It's I guess a lot easier to control your destiny.
It is. It's easier to control your destiny. And look, a trade is a trade. A trade may be a trade in terms of the educational aspect. But oftentimes companies want to control the soft skill training and the other things that are necessary to be successful. So they feel like they can do that oftentimes better than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were Renegade, the former Palmisano Construction Company, as you pointed out, they were in a number of different parishes throughout the region. So this was a consolidation effort.
Yeah, we were really lucky. They had a large fabrication yard in Jefferson Parish off of Earhart there. They were able to acquire adjacent land, which really facilitated them being able to move everything into one location, not only the fabrication, but the headquarters, the training facility, everything there in one location. They have an entire block now in the Labar Business Park.
Yeah, I was wondering where 14 acres were on the East Bank, and I guess that would probably be one of the only places, right?
Yeah, we don't have much green space on the East Bank, but yes, from their existing facility along with the adjacent land they were able to acquire, they're now up to 14 acres.
Let's talk about the next project.
So then at the end of last week, actually on Valentine's Day, we were in Gretna. And this was a great story. The former primary schoolhouse in Gretna, which is a historic building, a beautiful building, owned by Jefferson Parish, but it had largely sat dormant on Huey P. Long Avenue for over 50 years. And through a public-private partnership, we're able to rehab, renovate that school, and now it's a beautiful co-working space, about 20,000 square feet of co-working space. Formwork Development actually renovated the facility and working with Jefferson Parish. And it's a great asset right there by the parish government building, the general government complex, the courthouses. So for any businesses needing a location there on the West Bank, it's co-working space, splashdown space, lots of opportunity.
And that was that where the German Hellenic Cultural Center was as well at one time?
That's on the that is still there on the first floor, and the co-working space is all above that.
But the entire building has been renovated.
The entire building has been renovated and actually working right now to try and bring in some retail, perhaps some food offerings there on the first floor as well, coffee shop type development.
And there's another announcement about a century-old food distributor. Tell us about that.
Well, if you smell olives through the phone right now, that's because we just left Peroni and Sons, which many of or most in your audience would probably recognize the old Progress Grocery on Decatur. But Peroni and Sons is over 100 years old. They're a distributor and manufacturer of food products. Most would know their muffalata. But they also, in that same area as Renegade, back in LaBar Business Park, have acquired a second building, 7,500 square foot manufacturing facility. And they're retaining their 90 jobs over there and put about $1.5 million into the new facility. And this one was a great announcement. One, I think it's especially poignant when the parish is celebrating 200 years, to be able to celebrate a company that stood the test of time over 100 years. You must be doing something right. But it also really speaks to our food cluster. Everyone knows New Orleans for their food culture, but we really like to focus on the food manufacturing here in Jefferson. We have so many great food manufacturers, and it was great to be able to celebrate Peroni and Sons today.
So they are, correct me if I'm wrong, they had a footprint here already, and they're expanding it?
Yeah, so they have a great distribution facility there in LaBar Business Park already. This is a second building for production. So got to witness some great, the olive room and the really just a great facility of, they're producing muffalatas and all types of food products in there.
And historically, did they do this somewhere else before?
They were doing it, but this is allowing them to expand that operation. So they were able to move the food production off-site from their distribution facility, gives them greater capacity, and really enhances their efficiency.
Jerry, when we come back after the break, let's talk a little bit about maybe your thoughts about Super Bowl impact it may or may not have had in Jefferson Parish. And obviously, we're rolling into Mardi Gras as well and what that means to the parish. We're visiting with Jerry Bologna, President and CEO of JEDCO, the Jefferson Parish Economic Development Commission. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Jerry Bologna, President and CEO of JEDCO, the Jefferson Parish Economic Development Commission. Before we talk about Mardi Gras, Jerry, I know that you guys run a number of different programs in assisting small businesses. Anything on the horizon for 2025?
Well, I think one of the things we're excited about is actually rebranding our our Grand Isle Oysters. That's going to be really aimed at supporting our local fishermen. But we're always launching new initiatives, always trying to support our local economy, small business financing. We encourage any business really that's expanding or needing help to give us a call or go to our website at jedco.org.
y'all have a lot of information. You can put a lot of issues to rest, misnomers, misunderstandings about the process and otherwise, and it's time well spent, right?
Absolutely. Our staff sits with businesses every day, walks them through processes, answers questions, gets them wherever they need to be, and that's what we take a lot of pride in.
So let's talk about the Super Bowl. Obviously, I think it, the execution was second to none. It looks like almost everything was really, really favorable. Great reviews. Everyone's anxiously awaiting economic impacts. What's your gut telling you?
Oh, I think it was an outstanding success. I'm not in the business of giving Michael Heck too much credit. You know that, but I had to text him that day before the Super Bowl. My wife and I were in the French Quarter, and just everywhere was packed. The business all throughout the region. I told him if I had a magic wand and could change anything about the weekend, I don't think I could pick anything that we should have done differently. It was executed flawlessly. And I think, you know, we get caught up in, of course, the hotels were full, the restaurants are full, but the trickle down is immense. I mean, every company throwing a private party needs caterers and florists and lighting companies. And then when you compound that with the extended late Mardi Gras and the revenues from king cake sales in this region, I am anxiously anticipating what those February tax revenues are going to look like for Jefferson Parish.
And then we go right into Mardi Gras, right? And it looks like we are having Family Gras again this year, and it looks like that's slated to be a big event. A lot going on.
Yes, I mean Family Gras, and I mean just judging from the lines outside of Randazzo's in the morning, you know, business is good. And I think in my next life, I'm gonna create a king cake that's in demand, because I would love to work for a couple of months and take a couple of months off.
That is kind of nice, but they're busy. There's no doubt about that.
They work for it. Absolutely.
They're shipping them all over the country as well. It's amazing, you know, when you stand in line and you just hear the stories of what people are intending to do with the king cakes that they purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And as what do you see as one of the biggest challenges for Jefferson Parish in 2025?
I think it's an opportunity, but something that we're just monitoring given the president's position is we've really got a foot in the door on wind power. We talked about the EV battery manufacturing, but with wind power, and we think we have an opportunity to really exploit this as part of our all of the above energy push. We know we have the legacy sector with our oil and gas, but the more that we can participate in these alternative and clean energy initiatives, we think we have a real opportunity with what we already have with Gulf Wind technology, for example, moving from research and development into the manufacturing. We just don't want to lose any momentum. So that's something that we're certainly monitoring from the federal policy side.
Are there any other thoughts about federal policy? I mean, I know things are moving fast. They're moving quick. It's hard to get your finger on the pulse of what's coming next. But as you mentioned, a lot of this does have a trickle-down effect, both positive and negative.
Yeah, I mean, things are moving a mile a minute. And so it's a full-time job just trying to monitor what's going on in D.C. and how it's impacting us and how we can react. And we want to be nimble enough to react quickly and make sure that Jefferson is getting or taking advantage of everything that we can take advantage of from an industry standpoint.
Yeah. I know that Jefferson Parish has made the decision, the council that is, to embark upon infrastructure improvements this year. I've been really impressed with how much they've had the eye on the ball, recognizing it's pay me now, pay me later, and pay me later may be a lot more than pay me now.
Oh, that's there's no doubt about it, and that comes with having a parish that's 200 years old. Not that all of our infrastructure is that old, but if we don't fix it now and stay on top of it, we know that those costs just start to get exponentially higher. So the parish council, and certainly the parish leadership with President Li Sheng, really focusing on infrastructure, making sure that we remain strong, and that all leads to a quality of life. We don't want to accept anything less than the best. So the residents certainly let their feelings be known, and the parish is focusing on that.
There are challenges, right, with the transition in neighborhoods, small businesses, and then, you know, residential property, having to re-engineer that. And as if the infrastructure is in good shape, it kind of motivates folks to go in and do that, right?
I think it absolutely does, and people want to be in a location where they have all the tools they need to be successful, and infrastructure is one of the most important. And so when you have a strong infrastructure, people know they can invest, people know that they're going to get a return, their property value is going to be retained. It certainly makes it easier for both businesses and residents to invest in their own properties.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time, your insight. Congratulations on the most recent announcements and the continued celebration of the bicentennial year in Jefferson Parish. Jerry Bologna, President and CEO of JEDCO. Have a great week.
Thanks, Noel.
All righty, we'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. When we return after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Eric Kessler, attorney for Pano. We'll talk about the reinstatement of the promotional policy within the NOPD. And we'll also visit with Steve Yates at 12:30, senior research fellow, Heritage Foundation, and former deputy national security advisor to VP Dick Cheney, about European leaders meeting because President Trump shunts them out of Ukraine talks.